Special number 12247, Mr. J. Weddell, Reel 1.
Mr. J. Weddell, Reel 1. Where and when were you born, Mr. Weddell?
28 York Street, Gateshead, County Durham.
What year was this?
1921, 5th of April.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
3 brothers and 1 sister.
And where did you come in this? Were you the youngest?
Oh, I was the eldest. I was the eldest one. No, it was our Frankie. No, Robert. Oh, 4. Robert, Frankie, and Norman, that's right. Because Robert died when he was a child. And Noah, Margaret. And she died when I was a child.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he worked on the Gator Tramway Company, cleaning.
Were his wages particularly high?
No. I didn't get big wages on the tramway company then. No, they were just were lower than a tradesman.
Did your mother work?
No. Didn't believe in the woman working them. They had enough to keeping us anyway, my mother. So she didn't work.
What kind of house did you live in?
Flat. Streets of houses, at the back, two rooms upstairs and then a house downstairs with two rooms, front and back door we had.
Any gardens?
No, just a back backyard. The old cobble streets and back lanes in them days.
Was life particularly hard?
Well, it was pretty rough for them. Oh, we didn't have a lot of money. They all was sickness. But most of the family lived in the one street, which is a great help when you needed help. Grandmother got them all houses.
So your family were all close together?
Oh, my Aunt Nellie at the top of the street, my Aunt Mary Lua Doon, and my Aunt Mary Fletcher Lua Doon, then my grandmother. And we were on the opposite side of the street. So there was always somebody there to look after us.
How old were you when you went to school?
5.
Which school did you go to?
I started school at Birtley. Elizabethville School at Birtley, where the Birtley huts were for the Belgium huts. We shifted to Birtley then, you see, when I was 5. I was there for 4 years.
What are your memories of school?
They were good at that school. They learned gardening, because I had a garden on the garden was on the main road, just off the main road, you know. And was pretty good, the school.
Are there any memories of any particular teacher?
No, all the teachers were more or less the same for me at that particular time. I was only there about 4 years, you know, in Berkeley. Just the strike was on at the time, 1926 strike.
And how rough was that at that time?
It was rough. I see my first aeroplane coming over dropping leaflets at the time. Outside the school.
Uh-huh. What was the leaflets they were dropping?
About the strike, I suppose, for the owners, you know, the miners' strike. Because the miners' welfare was just opposite the school. Well, it's still there yet, the miners' welfare in Berkeley. But it was rough for the miners. My father used to go looking for coal. I believe it was a relative of us. He was in the Salvation Army. He used to take the old big barra on the top of the road where they could dig into the side of the... there must have been a coal seam there sometime or there, and they were digging at the coal there, because I can still picture sitting inside the barren me looking over there with these big high barrels, you know, looking over the top there. But it was rough. But my father was non-state because he was just the miners was non-state. But I think they did go and strike at the finish line, the transport. Because I remember my mother going to the miners' welfare and asking for help, and your husband's on strike, and she got some blankets off them.
So the welfare gave out help in this way?
Oh, yes, I quite remember that. Well, she says, he's not a miner, mine. She says that if he's on strike, the miners' welfare will help them. And I got, a couple of years after that, I got a pair of boots off school for them, just because I had a hole in my shoes. I got that on my father.
In these rough times, what kind of food were you getting?
Oh, we, mother was a good cook. Wholesome food, no fancy, but always homemade. And always boiled. Plenty of vegetables, always vegetables. Homemade bread, 3 times a week.
When you were at school, what was the discipline like?
Strict. Well, there was no messing about. You got to stick if you misbehave, which I didn't even tell my father, because I might be getting clipped off him.
You said you were at this school 4 years. Where did you move after that?
Back to Gateshead, back to Yorkstead again.
And which school were you going to then?
Windmill Hill School. It's a nursing home now. Windmill Hills and Bencham. That was a good school. I got shifted from there through age. The Gateshead Council had a policy shifting them around at age, different age groups, and I went to about 4 schools in Gateshead.
So when you got to a certain age, you moved on to another school?
To other schools, aye. But in some schools in Gateshead, you could go to that school as an infant and stay there till you were 14 unless you passed the exam. And you went to the secondary school or the Gateshead Technical Central School. But my age group got shifted around in different schools. You know.
Was there any examinations that you had to sit?
Oh, aye, there was the usual 11 plus, you know. But I was sick for quite a while before the exams, so I failed the first. You got 2 exams, you failed the first one. I passed the first one, but I failed the second. And I was said it was through being, so I was in hospital quite a while.
Was there a lot of sickness in your family?
Oh, yes, there was. I mean, we had TB, which a lot of families had in them days. It was either bronchitis or TB. I always thought we had it, just because my mother had it, you know, because we were close together, you know. But we didn't get it.
What was the medical system like for getting help?
Good. I'm saying good. My mother joined a doctor's club. I think she paid a shilling a week. You had to pay according to the size of the family. Just for herself and the children, my father had his own insurance with working, because my father was never unemployed. For all he had low wages, he had employment, that's why he kept the job, made sure he had a job. So we're lucky that way. There was a rough life, but they were good. But my mother had to pay for the doctor, and it came off the bill, but before that, appear for me, brother going to hospital when he died with meningitis.
Your brothers that survived, they were younger than you.
No, yes, Frankie. Yeah. Well,
ultimately, you would get jobs. What was your first job?
Oh, I had 2 or 3 at the time. I had to go to school a bit longer, through the age as well, the quarter. If you were just for the quarter, you had to go the following quarter, you see. And I had to go 3 months longer at school. And I got round with my mother, took it out of me because I couldn't get a job. Naturally, they had to keep it. You got nothing then if you went to school. And I had 2 various jobs.
What did you start with?
selling cider for advertising purposes for a wine company. And I went to a cobbler's shop. I liked the cobbling, but I didn't. I didn't like run messages for his mother, which wasn't in my line. I stopped going.
What kind of wages were you getting?
Very poor. Very poor. I got 4 and 6 a week for a 48-hour week.
That was 6 days a week, was it?
5 and a half days a week. That's, and I got a job in the butcher's shop. And that was 5 shillings a week. But you got 2 half days out a week. But you work Saturday and Sunday, Friday and Saturday, till 10:30 at night. Because that's when the shops used to shut in them days. You know, people
what,
used to,
what time were you starting?
8 o'clock. I used to have to start at 8, 8 o'clock. But just shop to get there, scrub the tub, to scrub the table, and put the sawdust on the floor and ready. And the butcher came in. But I didn't stay there long.
So where did you go?
I went back to dual school and employment school that started. And till you got a job.
And what were you doing there?
Learning gardening, painting, and refresher course of what you had at school, you know, the technical and that, and art, joinery. But if you got an interview for a job, you could go, just tell the teacher and give you a tip, and you could go. So there was, but you got no money. So I was held a bit rougher to him because I wasn't earning enough. So I got a milk job with my mum before I went to, well, I had a milk job before I went to school. I just did that. I got fixed up in the castle, a rubber company in the castle.
And how old were you when you were at this industrial school?
14. So this all happened a few months after 14. I didn't start with a month there, just couldn't. And I was only a month at the dual school. We used to call it a dual school. And the girls had the church opposite. Where we were, and I got started at a rubber company in the castle, in a plus a warehouse. And I was at La General Territorials.
And what hours were you working there?
48, and I was getting 7 and 6 a week. But I had to work over in the castle, Orchard Street in the castle. But I enjoyed that job.
What kind of leisure were you doing as a growing young man?
Oh, camping, myself. I was no organiser, tied to scouts, but wasn't my cup of tea.
What did you not like about the scouts?
Well, I like to go my own way. If I was on my bike, if I wanted to go somewhere the weekend with the lads, I wanted to go. I didn't just want to go to suit them with other people, you know.
How long were you with the scouts?
Oh, I was only in a few weeks, yeah. Couldn't afford a uniform as well.
You had to buy a uniform?
Oh, you had to buy a uniform. Oh,
and what did that comprise of then?
Well, be a trousers and a hat and your lanyards and one thing and another, you know. And you pay towards your camp, which I wouldn't ask my father to do. You say you had enough on it. I wouldn't ask him.
How did you find the discipline of the scouts?
Oh, it was all right, as far as I was concerned. Oh, there was nothing that involved. Like, you know, I just liked to do what I wanted to do, you know.
So you were a keen camper in your own
with
life?
With the lads, oh, I had 3 or 4 used to go and get, well, on a weekend, and Whit weekend and such, and go to, well, Wylam, as far as I was concerned. That was the countryside, Wylam and Sunnyside, coast, camp the weekend there. Just a small tent, you know, and cook my own dinner. And just rough like ordinary lads at that particular time. And we played football amongst ourselves, you know. But never joined any particular group of any kind. The first time I joined the group was the Territorial.
At what age were you when you joined the Terriers?
18, just turned 18.
And this would be in what year?
1938. 1939. April 39.
What made you join the Terriers?
Well, April 38, everybody was talking about the troubles. I knew about some of the troubles in Germany. through a traveller at the place where I worked. He was in charge of the Jews and Austrians were coming, and the Czechoslovakians were coming to the gates at the trading estate. And he's there. That was his district for getting orders, you know. And they were telling him the tales about Germany and that, and he would ask it, and then he'd come and talk to me and the other lad and tell him about it.
No. Were these refugees that had come over from
Germany? No, they were doctors and these were Sigmund Pumps people, you know. Oh, they were all business people, you know. And he says, people don't believe the story. He says, but it must be true to me. Yeah. And I believed the traveller because he wouldn't just say, he was there. He was a Boy Scout, you know, he was in the gangs and everything. And he didn't tell the tale, you know, so. Trouble, but my friends were in the territorials. My cousin was in, cousin Robert. Ken Whitfield was in, and Eddie Nicholson was in. So I joined the 9th. My father had been in the 9th. My Uncle Jack had been in the 9th. My Uncle Fred had been in the Durhams.
This was the First World War?
The First World War. Mm-hmm. So the 9th was Gates' battalion, Boat Terrace. So I joined that.
And where was the territorial barracks?
Boat Terrace, Alexander Road. Where it was.
When you went there, did you have a medical? Did you have to pass some medical?
Well, I went there on the 4th of April in the drill hall. And, like normal drill halls, you know, on us listing everything up was the 9th of the start of them, you know, and tables were officers on. You're queuing up for. There's quite a lot of lads joined up in that particular time. And they went to him and he asked us my age and told him. He guessed my height. Guessed what weight I was. He came here and no identification, of course. And then he sent us home. He says, get some, bring your birth certificate for proof that you are 18, which I would have been 18. On the 5th of April, you know, and a reference from two people. A lot of people say they joined on the 8th, but I had to prove I was 18.
And did they give you a medical?
When I took it back, I signed, and swore to the Queen, of course, the oath, and he told us to go and see the doctor, which was a private doctor. He was the Dr. Scott. He was the medical officer for the 9th DLI. And his surgery was near where I lived. He told us what time to go and see the Dr. Scott. So the next night I went to see him. Told him what I went there for, and there was two or three lads there. He just give us a, he says, you want to join the teller at 9th? I says, aye. Right, strip off and I'll examine you. And he give us a quick, he says, oh, you're fit enough. And you're all right. Just the wise, of course. But it wasn't a thorough examine you. We just, like a works medical used to give you, you know. And so I passed.
Was there a strong feeling that trouble was coming at this time?
Well, you know what the papers were, but you hoped it wouldn't. But there was that many men volunteered for the 9th. They made a 2nd battalion.
Did how did your parents feel about you joining the forces?
Well, my father, my mother wasn't very pleased. My father wasn't very pleased. He said, well, not because I joined the forces. He said, what did you join the 9th for? I said, because it's 9th Durham. He says, oh, boy. He says, I was in a fight with them, you know. Why didn't you join engineers, you know? But that particular time, they wanted tradesmen and that, you know. But I wanted the 9th, so. Oh, well, sign it. Sure. Once you mind them. Something yourself, so he didn't object. He says, that's what you want. He says, Robert's in, and Ken's in, and it was about 5 of us in the 9th. All lads, same age as myself.
So this was at Burt Terrace?
That was Burt Terrace Gate.
What does a drill hall look like?
Well, the same as you've been to Chester Street one. Same as that. Exactly, more or less the same. Entrance was the same. Straight into the big hall, and then the sergeant's mess, and upstairs, downstairs was offices where you had your rooms for your equipment and the armoury and for the staff. The staging, there was a staging for the, when you used to have concerts, the officers' rooms. And always had the honours and everything up, you know, the list. Just the same as ordinary. Plus had the sergeant's mess and the, for the men, you know, the upstairs. Nice. It was a good, solid drill hall. Been there a long time, Port Terrace. So I used to go in there, and that's where I did your drills.
What uniform were you issued with?
Well, I got the modern. We were just coming into the British Army then, the blouse and the jackets. But all the rest had the old infantry khaki uniform. Some buttoned up, you know, jackets and knotted trousers and putties. We had the short putties. But I did get begged and borrowed an old uniform because they were more dressy.
You like them better than the modern ones?
Oh, for dress, the jackets. Oh. And once you got the trousers widened, they were smart.
Were you given any equipment?
Oh, yes, we got all our full equipment. The old equipment, 1914, 18 equipment, 303 rifle. And the old helmets and the old equipment. They had the old equipment right up to 19. We went to Tidworth for them, 1940. And they got all the new equipment then, the night. And the headquarter company, anyway. They still had the old pouches. And the old pack, the old fashioned pack, you know, and the side pack. Still had them.
Did you keep some of the equipment and the weapon in the drill hall?
Your rifle. You kept your rifle in. And you could take your equipment home to keep it clean. Yes. You had to sign for it, of course. Not your helmet, but you kept your equipment. Because you had to keep it clean. You couldn't, so you could go up and dress. But, you know. Some had the picky caps. And we had the side.
So it was very much an in-between situation.
Oh, yes, then they were getting part of the mod. The lads called up. At the time, we were getting the anarchy. Some got the old uniform that was left, handed over, and I happened to get the new one, which I preferred the old one for dress, of course. It was smart.
How many occasions a week did you meet?
I went I was supposed to go two nights a week. At the time I was working back shift 2 to 10, constant, because I was starting to do war work in the factory. I was working, making gas mask faces and other things for equipment, fire equipment for war pumps. And so they got me drills in. I had to see the sergeant major there, and he was cleaning all the new weapons, rifles, and starting to bring the Bren guns in. And I used to say, clean the, strip them, clean them, because now they're thick of grease, you know. And I got my drills that way. So if you didn't get your drills, you didn't get your bounty, sort of thing, you know. And if I wasn't doing that, there was always some lads, unemployed lads, nothing about the drill hall. You know, I'd take them, loan the rifle, how to sight the rifle on a tripod, so I got individual instructions and off different lads was there, and they got their drills teaching me what to do.
How did you clean the grease off the weapons? What method did you use?
I believe I used paraffin to clean off when they are thick, inches thick when they come in, you know, right mess, like, you know. But there was good training for me because I learned how to handle a Bren gun and put it together, you know. was coming handy when we started getting instructions on it. At the finish, I think every section had a bend going at the finish. Uh-huh. But where I lacked there, I didn't get any arms drill like the other lads were doing two nights a week. Mm-hmm. It was very strict on arms drill, you know. And then I had to get it done individually there. Because I once went on parade and couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. One night, you know, when I was off, I went and so they give us individual instruction during the day. But they did accommodate the men, the lads that they were working shift work, you know, to get their drill. Because there's always something to do, you know, in the drill hall. So that's how I done my drill, so I got called up.
You talked about cleaning the brand. Did someone show you how to dismantle it, or you found that yourself?
No, the sergeant major was there, and there was always men putting their drills in, other men in. Unemployed men would say, they sometimes pop in and ask the sergeant major or the sergeant was there if they wanted something done, which some of them did at that particular time, and they do it and get their drills put in for them, you know. That they'd do the full hours drill, you know. So they should.
How many drills were you expected to put in to get your bounty?
I think it was about. Well, 50, I think, then you had to do a weekend camp. Most of them were at Woodburn, firing range.
Did you do a camp there?
I did a camp at Woodburn, yes, on the canvas, firing the rifles. Mm-hmm.
And what was the bounty that you were given?
Well, I was given, I believe it was £5. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When that's after we were called up.
Were you paid anything for the drill nights, for attending on a drill night?
No, you got them, that was in your bounty, aye. Mm-hmm. You had to put so many drills in, and you had to go to the weekend camp, so many weekend camps, and you had to go to the yearly camp, which was, I think the last one, the 9th, did, was it on the Borders, and Scottish Borders. But I didn't go on that one, but my cousin and then went. Because I joined up too late to go there. So I didn't do a camp with them, just the weekend camp at Woodburn. Yeah. Then you got your bounty when you came back off the camp.
You're talking about the drills that you had to do. What kind of drills were they?
Well, the drills was normal arms drills, shoulder arms, infantry drills, doubling the trail, all infantry drills you did.
Were they all done at light infantry pace?
Oh, aye. Light infantry pace. It was done light infantry. Oh, aye. Always light infantry.
Did you have any route marches to put in?
At that particular time, no. I didn't. The other lads may have done it. But most of the time it was drill. You know, it was only when we got called up we started doing the route marching, you know, and the manoeuvres. I didn't do a lot of marching while until I was called up. You didn't have the time, really. Because you only went, if you did that, you went on weekend camps, you know, which you didn't do a lot of, you know. I mean, you still had to work. You had to ask the employer's permission to go at that particular time. They were quite willing to let you have it, you know, as long as you asked them to, you know. Well, my employer did, because he used to be an ex-officer. And my colonel was a friend of his.
Was there a code of behaviour that you had to follow in the drill?
Oh, yes. Oh, it was still army drill. It was a real army drill. I had some old soldiers in the 9th from the 1918 war.
And was it strict?
Not as strict as the regulars, but there was didn't stamp on no nonsense, you know. And you had to go, otherwise you're breaking the law. Couldn't just sign and refuse to go. It could be taken to court because you broke your contract. I signed for 3 years, that's what I signed for.
You said there were some older soldiers, veteran soldiers. Oh, they were from First World War, were they?
Well, at the end of the year, they were machine gunners, the ones on you. My Sergeant Major was an old 1918 war.
What did they call him?
Johnny Owen. He was a deputy at Youth Colliery. And the quartermaster sergeant at the time in B Company was, he was a machine gunner in the same as Johnny Owen, but he worked at Clark Chapman's Gateshead in engineering.
You were in B Company, were you?
I was in B Company in the 9th.
And what were you in as, rifleman? Or
rifleman. It used to be the old machine gun company of the 9th, but it was a rifle company.
Had you been issued with a bayonet?
Oh, yes. You got everything soldier had, sidearms, rifle.
How long was the bayonet?
The old long bayonet. I think it was 12 inches or something. The bayonet. The long bayonet.
And did you do bayonet drill?
Oh, yes. I did all bayonet drill. All the drills an infantryman had to do, you did it with your arms. There was no unarmed combat. It wasn't even thought in them days you had to use your weapons, you know. But you did everything like that.
Training like that with weapons, as you say, did you get some rather nasty knocks occasionally?
I think the only danger was is when you fixed bayonets and you were lined up and somebody didn't put his bayonet on properly. It might just drop off and risk going in your foot. That was only nasty. You got little doing a bayonet exercise, sometimes you wrapped your knuckles, but you did that at work as well, didn't you?